Good morning, everybody. You know, it turns out that if you have the mute button on the mic, it doesn't work. So just to know in the future, if you ever grab a mic, make sure it's on. All right, let's try this again. How's everybody doing this morning? Very good. Wow. I just feel proud right now that I've trained you well, that you guys come. I don't know if you go to the gym before you get to church, but you come energetic, and I appreciate that. Well, we're going to start off with a song that I introduced to you a few weeks ago. It's entitled, Get All Excited, Go Tell Everybody That Jesus Christ is King.
Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited.
Fun to sing, isn't it? It's fun. If there's something to be excited about, I know there's probably a few that are excited about the game today. I mean, not as much if the Lions were playing, but you know, if we should get excited about anything, it should be that we serve a risen Savior and we have the victory, not because of us, but because of Him and what He did on the cross. Let's sing this old hymn. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning and His... And then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Sing it out this morning.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. And He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, and about the angels singing the old redemption. And some sweet day I'll sing up there a song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I had to make sure you're paying attention there. On this, when we sing this chorus again, hold out that victory, all right? Get a big breath before it and hold it out, because we have the victory and it's something to sing about. Sing it with me.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Well, don't get too comfortable, because I'm going to ask you to stand on this next song. If you're able, please stand with me as we sing How Great Thou Art.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, and I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, oh, I can scarce take it in. And that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. And I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord. Sing, you are worthy, yes, you are worthy, you are worthy. Yes, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, oh Lord. Sing, we exalt thee, and we exalt thee, just the voices, we exalt thee. We exalt thee, oh, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh.
Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts this morning, Lord, in praise and worship and adoration. Lord, there's none like you. Lord, we've been singing about your grace and your mercy, the love that you have shown upon us that 2,000 years ago, before we were even a thought in anybody's mind but yours, you came and you gave your life on the cross and you died for us to redeem us, to buy us back, so that we could spend life in fellowship with you in eternity in your physical presence. Lord, how do we say thank you for that? The words thank you are just not enough. Lord, I pray this morning that every heart that's here would just be molded and just pressed into the things of God in a greater way. Lord, I pray this morning that as we stand in your presence, as we just worship you with our hearts and our lives, all that we have and all that we are, that, Lord, that you would just change us, make us more like Jesus. God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for these, your people. These are the sheep of your pasture, and you love them more than any could. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we together can be here and we can honor the name of Jesus. Not only that, but we can bring our needs and our burdens and our petitions to you. Lord, I hold in my hand our bulletin, and we've added names this week. People that have gone into situations. We lift up Gwen and Barbara, Kurt and Georgia, Chase and Megan and Bruce. Lord, then we look at the list, and we've named them before, and we hold all of this up to you today. Lord, there are big needs on this list. But Lord, today, cancer, dementia, family troubles, discord, and needing direction in life, financial woes, whatever it might be, God, nothing is too hard for you. And God, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, Lord, I pray today that every need that's here will bow today. Lord, you're the great physician. You're the healer. And so we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we pray, oh God, that today you would receive our petitions and our needs. And as they come before the throne room of you, Father, that you would speak that word and healing and victory and power would come into the lives of your people. Mend us and heal us and make us well. But most of all, God, may we just draw closer to you. Lord, the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. May we know you as Lord and Savior. May we be disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, following hard after you. Father, we commit this prayer list to you. Lord, we think of those that are, Lord, grieving today, the Kyle family, the Perkins family today. We think about Mike's family today. Lord, that we just ask today that you would, the Ganges, Lord, that you would just bless these families that have lost loved ones. God, they're going through a lot and they need you. They need to know that, Lord, you're right there, that you're pressing into them and putting your arms around them and loving on them today. Lord, there's nothing that's too hard for you. Would you remind us of that today? Would you raise our faith just another notch? Lord, we want to believe with all of our heart. And even sometimes when our faith is wavering, we're like Thomas, the doubter. He said, I won't believe unless I see. And Lord, you didn't chide him for that. You let him see. And then there was the man that said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. God, if we're struggling to believe for those big things today, would you just lift us up in our faith today? Increase our faith. Lord, we know this much. We know that in the age and the time that we're living, that we need more of God than we've ever needed before. These are difficult days. These are ungodly days. And God, we pray for our nation today. We pray for our leaders. They need you. God, we pray for this coming election week. We pray for the division that's in this land today. Lord, there's just so much hatred and so much anger and so much frustration. Lord, we pray today for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Israel and we pray for the Muslims. And Lord, we know that you love all mankind. You didn't come to just save Americans or Jewish people. You came to save the world. Would you make yourself real? God, may the world know you. May the world know you as Savior. Lord, I pray today that you would be with those in the Ukraine and God, the nation's leaders, that somehow, some way, we know that the Bible is what it is and it says what it says. And we know that you, the perfect Prince of Peace, when you finally come and we're living in that millennial time, that the perfect peace will be here. But Lord, you can stave off the enemy. You can push back the darkness. Lord, we just pray that you would move upon this world. We pray for Nettles Island today. God, there are people that live here that don't know you. Would you bring them into the family of God? Use this church. Use us to be your light and to be the salt and to be your witnesses that people might know Jesus. Lord, that's what matters most because that's what eternity will be determined by. Did we know the Savior? Lord, bless your people today. Bless this congregation. Bless this time. Bless them. Give us peace. Give us rest. God, open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us today, that when we leave today in just a bit, that we leave as different people. Lord, we love you. We appreciate all that you do for us, and we just want to say thanks. And all these things we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're seated this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. I love coming to church. Somebody said, hey, aren't you on vacation? I said, well, kind of, but I'm here. I wouldn't miss it. If I'm in town, I'm here. I love worshiping the Lord together with you. And, you know, walking around before church and people are happy and they're smiling and they're joy-filled and the love of Jesus is in their heart. This is just the best. If every pastor knew about this church, they'd be fighting me for it. I'm telling you right now. Don't tell everybody when you get back home. Amen. couple things real quick announcement-wise. There's a lot of announcements. I'm not going through all of that, but I do need to mention that today, some of you have not gotten in yet for your pictures, and Tammy told me this morning, asked me if I would make this announcement right after the service today. If you've not gotten your picture, we cannot make it any easier for you than this. But right after this service, and for the folks coming after, Tammy will be right here in the back, in the back porch, they call this place back here. I'm getting it, the back porch. And everything is set up. Bam, we'll get you in. We'll get a couple smiles and take a few pictures, and we'll have you all set. And again, I'm just imploring you. I'm asking, you know, if you're brand new to Nettles Island Church and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm thinking about making this, come get your picture taken, you know. You can call me and say, hey, don't put my picture in there. I'm not coming back. I hope that doesn't happen. But listen, we want you to feel like you're home and you're with family. And we want your picture in our new directory that's coming up later on this year. We're going to have it after we get all the pictures. We've got a lot of work to do. We're going to get that done. So if you're brand new, if it's your first Sunday and you say, I think this is going to be my church, get your picture taken. If you're seasonal and you think, well, I'm going back, we still want your picture. We want you to be a part of what God is doing here at Nettles Island Church. So would you do that today? And then I just wanted to make you aware this morning. I know that we received our new board last week and we prayed for the outgoing board and we honored them and thanked them. But I failed to mention, and I just want you to be aware that our new board president, and he took effect this week, and all of a sudden the weight of Nettles Island Church is upon Joe Shell there in the back. And so Joe's our president. I didn't mention that to you last week. So thank you, Joe. And there's Marcia, in fact, president and president back there taking care of business. I do want to say this today. They are ready. If this is your very first time here at Nettles Island Church, you've not been here before, somebody invited you, you saw it in the Nettles Bulletin or saw the sign outside, and you came to visit with us today, you're a new friend, and we're so glad that you're here. And we have this little gift that we give to all of our new first-time people. It's a little promise book with the best promises in the Scriptures. All the promises are lined up. And, you know, it's like if you ever wake up and you think, man, I just don't feel happy today. Is there, where can I get some joy? I need a scripture on joy. And then you start trying to figure it out. This little promise book, you just open it up and it, you find joy, and the scriptures of joy are there, and you can get right to it, and God can start to work and pour that joy in. And that's just an example of what the little gift is. Anybody first time today, hold a hand up. Our board is coming and they're getting ready today to do that. And anybody first time? Anybody here first time? No first time. All right, everybody pray that there'll be some in the next service so we keep these folks active and busy this morning. I do want to say this morning, Mike, if you just take a seat, because I've got one more big announcement. I want to introduce someone that you know very well, but I wanted to introduce to you what he's doing. Bill Cates is our chairman of Miracle Sunday, and he is coming to make a very special announcement this morning to us. You know, we're just about, well, I guess we're about 6 or 7 weeks out, 8 weeks out, but we are getting close. This year is really, really packed with a lot of stuff, and it's busy. Bill is the chairman of Miracle Sunday, and he's got an important announcement for you. Thank you, Bill.
Good morning, everyone. You know, it seems the older I get, the faster time flies. When they asked me to be chairman again this year, and I said, that time already? Well, Spring Festival's just around the corner. And that means for the church, Miracle Sunday. And that's the time that we give to get the church through the summer. We need those funds to help the church. We're going to make it easy. We have envelopes back there on the table. So if you want to donate right away, go ahead. That's what I do. I put it in the envelope right away so I don't have to worry about it later on. So everyone, please remember Miracle Sunday. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. And it's a privilege this morning to, and I will say Miracle Sunday is also Palm Sunday this year. So you just remember Palm Sunday the week before Easter. It's the fourth Sunday of March. The tent will be up for festival, and we'll be under the tent on Miracle Sunday. Invite somebody to come and join you for the tent service, the tent crusade that day, and then Easter follows the very next week. And it's my privilege to welcome Mike Baker to minister in song today. Lord bless Mike and bless you as he sings.
I need it.
Thank you.
Grant me your holiness. Make me devoted deep within. I plead for patience in my trials and more sorrow for my sin. A deeper faith in you. Dear Lord, please give me every day. Find joy in your journey and more purpose when I pray. This is my prayer. Lord, when this day is over, was I a little less like me and a little more like you? My lone desire in all I say or do was I a little less like me and a little more like you? Give me more gratitude. Help me to love you even more. And take pride only in your glory and trust only in your word. Let me shed sorrow's tears when others pain, when others grieve. And may my neighbor please see Jesus every time they see me. This is my prayer. Lord, when this day is through, was I a little less like me and a little more like you? Thank you, Jesus. My lone desire in all I say or do was I a little less like me and a little more like you? This is my prayer. Lord, when this day is through, was I a little less like me and a little more like you, Lord? Was I a little less like me and a little more like you? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. May that be our prayer this morning. Amen. Make me more like you. Well, I'm privileged this morning to have really the best friend in my lifetime, my old college roommate. That's how far back we go, all the way back to 1977 when we met at Central Bible College. And we became roommates, and we were on the dish crew together, where we had to clean all the dishes and the silverware after 800-900 kids ate in the cafeteria every day. Do you remember that time we put Stevie the dishwasher was a big, huge dishwasher, and there was this little guy from New York, smaller than me and skinny, and we put him in there, didn't we? You need to pray for us. But it's a privilege this morning to have Pastor Tim Klein. Tim has just recently resigned and from the church that he founded in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. It's called Solid Rock Church. He is now getting things together, and he's going back to the streets. See, Tim started on the streets of New York City, evangelizing and reaching out to the gangs and the drug addicts, the prostitutes, all the people you think about on the streets in New York City. And he started there out of Bible college and then moved into pastoring and did that for many, many years, 30 years there at the church that he founded in Newcastle. And just recently has felt God's calling him back to the streets. Things are bad in Newcastle. There's a lot going on, and nobody's really there ministering on the streets. And so God has led him back there. Tim has come down. He's a phenomenal painter. And so he and I took the week off, and we've been painting the house. And we've been doing that. And so I'd ask him, if you come and you paint, help me, and I'm on vacation, would you preach on Sunday? And so he delightedly said yes, he would do that. And so you're in for a treat this morning as my old college roommate and my best friend in this world, Tim Klein, comes to minister the word today. God bless you.
Thanks, buddy. Amen. Paint with him. I'm glad I get to preach. He's a slave driver. My God, I work 12 hours a day. Haven't got to go fishing. Haven't got the boat. Haven't got to do anything. Somebody sent me this. That was, it doesn't matter. Stevie survived, if you were wondering. He didn't finish that story. He's still living today. We made 98 cents. I remember leaving Roadway Express making $23 an hour in 1977. Offered a full-time managing position with Roadway Express in 1977. Starting out full package over $50,000. I went back to Bible school there, and we made 98 cents an hour. When God calls you, what are you going to do? You listen. Somebody sent me this. It says, I think more. Now, I'm only 67. Well, yeah, one thing here applies to me. I'm wearing them. But I think more about running away now than I did as a kid. But by the time I put my teeth in, my glasses on, and find my keys, I forget why I'm going. Is that going to happen to me eventually? Yes, boy. This looks like a James Bond movie out there. I think it was Gold Digger. Gold what? Goldfinger. Yeah, I like James Bond. I watch all of his movies, and whew, got to talk to the lifeguard out there. He listens to you every week. Yeah. And you bless him every week. The people are friendly, and he probably hears me saying this right now, but we had a nice talk out there. My first impression of this church when I came, I got out of the car, and Bob met me. Luther's? Withers. Bob. I'm a first name. You can call me Tugboat. That's my street name. He says, get in the golf cart. I jumped in. I never even heard the boys or the pastor's message. I was riding around with Bob the whole morning during the first service. When I travel, I watch you guys on Sunday night when I get home. And I'm trying to see if I... The only time I can see any of you on the video is when they shake hands. And I remember that person. Yeah, I remember their name. Yeah, I remember. So we watch. And I'm glad to be here. This is a great church, and you got a great pastor. You got to pick when you pick Tim. And like he said, I've known him. They're preachers' families. I know his brothers, his father. Boy, if he could still be here today, would you be blessed? But they didn't fall too far from the tree. I want to give you a nugget today. I was a jock growing up. Then I became a fighter. I fought since first grade. And I like to have game plans. I played college ball, and we always had agendas, game plans, offenses, defenses, the whole gig. So I apply life where I go, and I have to evaluate what I do, especially when I'm in dangerous situations around dangerous people and killers on the street. Been there, done it all, been threatened by them. It just, only God's angels and Jesus Christ protected me. I should be gone. I was threatened and followed for 2 weeks in an eyewitness case in the South Bronx, 16 bullets at gunpoint, and I had the opportunity to drive the eyewitness to court. Her family, friends, mom and dad, cousins, they threatened to kill them all if she would be the eyewitness. And I was young, dumb, and just believed God to take care of me, and he did. And they followed me every day. They stole my car, but they couldn't touch me. People asked, was you ever shot? No, but I had a 44 Magnum put to the back of my neck. I was robbed, but I was chased, and I was followed, and I was threatened, but I never, never, ever. No one ever laid a hand on me, and I thank God for that, and I appreciate that to this day. You see us move our feet a little bit. Good music, Steve. My man. He's the only face I can see. The choir director came up. I said, I know your face, but all I ever see is the back of her head on the video. Because they do a great job. I'm blessed to watch. And God bless you all. I got a nugget to give. I know I'm on a time clock down here. I'll talk as fast as I can. Volpe will tell you I don't talk fast. So I got to talk fast. Bob told me, take the tie off. He's not here right now, but I'll mention it to them when we pulled in. We don't wear ties down here. I thought you wore ties. So I said, let me look like a pastor and not a street guy. So I put the shirt and tie on. For that, I apologize. There was a story I read about a snake. He was crawling along the ground, and he crawled over the saw. And the saw punctured his skin, and it was painful. He got very angry, so he wrapped his body like snakes do, and he began to squeeze to kill. And every squeeze he made, he bled more. Every anger, every pain that he felt, he would squeeze that saw till he bled out and died. And I thought, John chapter 10, there's a thief called the devil, evil, Satan, and whatever you know him by, who lurks around, plays his little games in your life, in your mind, in your family, in your kids, and in your grandkids. I got grandkids. 37 years of marriage, I got two. One's 4, one's 9. You know how it goes if you're a grandparent. Amen? Right? Yo? In the street, we say yo. In the church, they say amen. Hey, whatever you want to say, it makes no difference to me. Just lets me know people ain't sleeping on me. He's a thief who comes to steal and kill and to destroy you, to your kids, to your grandkids, to your wife, to your husband. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Here's the nugget. Isaiah 58:12. We may be struggling with issues in our life. We may have gone through divorce. We may have been the drug dealer, the drug people, the street people, the alcoholics that I've dealt with for 40-some years. 75% to 80% of them been sexually abused. I Googled one day. I said, okay, you know, those computers are pretty nice. I don't know how to work them very well, but he does. How about religious people? I could have went through all the denominations, but I just put in 35% of who would even claim that they were, because it's such a topic that we don't talk about. 35% were sexually abused in the church. And I was thinking about that, and the scripture of Isaiah came back. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. That word breach means there's a crack. When we paint, we caulk all the cracks in your houses so you don't see them. Or a hole in the wall. He had a hole in his wall. He didn't punch it. He just took a plate off of it, and it left a hole. So I patched the hole. Sin, crisis, drama, abusive situations that we grew up in. You may never experience that, but I know some have. And it's for that message today. It's for your kids. It's for your grandkids. That once abuse comes in, once somebody from the outside comes in and does a traumatic, whatever act it is in your life, it leaves a hole, a breach in our lives. It leaves, in the Hebrew, it's a hole in your emotions, will, and intellect. Now, something has to refill that hole. That's why you have the world of drugs. Them holes got to be filled. The emotions got to be numbed with something because it's too much trauma. Even we've seen since COVID, since we changed presidents, pastors, 1,500 churches a month are closing down. Pastors are committing suicide. I sat in the office before I started the church I'm in, and pastor that came in, the new one, he was sexually abused. He was sharing with me one day in the office and how as a child and he was taking some, you know, he was taking some things, I don't know what they were, to just help him get through the past of that. And I trained him, and then I left to go start a rehab. I got the phone call that Pastor Joe, this guy was one of the best teachers I ever heard. Three small babies sat behind his desk and took a 12-gauge under his chin. The devil comes to rob, kill, and destroy anybody that wants to do anything for the kingdom. And guess what? In the world and the street of that world I live in, the devil is no respecter of persons. He'll take out his own followers. He'll take out the meanest bikers, the meanest drug dealers. He'll take out the meanest killers. He don't care, because you know what? The devil never wants people to hear the gospel and repent and follow Jesus. He's not into that. I had a guy in my church one year. He was on the America's Most Wanted. Took his wife's arms off at the elbows with the machete. Yeah. I seen it on TV. I was in the police station dealing with an issue. And I seen it. So I drove home, and sure enough, he's standing outside Dunkin' Donuts. He'd been coming to my church. He's from the islands. Turned around, went back to the police. I said, your man's right there. Go get him now. And they did. And he'll spend, I believe, the rest of his life in prison. So what happens, any type? You know, I talk a lot with people who are divorced, and they just can't get over it. Or they bring the baggage from the first or second marriage into the next one because the trauma, the hurt, and all it does is cause confusion in relationships. And I'm thinking, you know what? Do they know that there's an answer? Do they know that God sent His word over 4,000 years ago, that when there's a breach, when there's an abuse, when there is a hole in the soul created, God's going to be the restorer of that hole in your soul? And you may be here today, and you may be one of those. One of my pastors in my church, she was a recovering anorexia, lifelonger. And she would tell me, she'd say, PT, she said, every time I put my finger down my mouth, I felt like I was in control of my life. So I thought 20 years ago when she would tell me, I said, how distorted does the enemy get into our minds because of it? She was abused in high school. High school teacher abused her. And just twisted. The devil gets in. Whatever he makes that hole, you got to fill it with something. We just don't grow up drinking ourselves to death 24 hours a day. It's not normal. We don't grow up shooting needles in our arms and taking drugs. We don't grow up watching porno stuff. There's something that feeds that in people. And it's in every church. I've spoken in over 100 churches. It's in every church I go to. Because the enemy, if he can get your mind wrapped up in that, then you're not just not going to be a happy person. You're not going to be as successful. It's going to affect things in your life and in your marriage. And I really felt God put on my heart to share this today. I know this probably ain't, this ain't your typical sermon, but I'm going to follow him first. A soul tie is, it says that I will cut the soul ties, the cord of affliction in Psalms 129:4. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of affliction. I say it like this. Forgive me. He'll never have me back, but I have cancer twice cut out. You know, I'm on grace time. Steve, I'll use Steve as my... Steve, what did you have for dinner three nights ago? Look at that. Look at his face. I wish we had a camera in here. He's thinking, his eye... Okay. Most of us guys, we won't know. I don't know what I had. He's been feeding me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm starving. I lost 10 pounds. This suit, when I brought it, I couldn't get into it, and I got an inch down there. If any of you got good Italian restaurants, he loves Italian food. Take him out. Give him a certificate to a nicest Italian, and then when I come down, we can go out, right? Steve, if I was to say, I'll say to myself, I don't know what we ate two nights ago, but our first sexual encounter, the face pops right up. See? Yeah, the guys are laughing because that's a soul tie. Might not be with the girl that you married, but that's a soul tie. The devil knows how to soul tie our minds with the things that aren't really biblical in our life. So we got to learn to cut those soul ties that create anger issues, that create low self-esteem issues, that make you feel like the body of Christ. You guys are the diamond setting in this whole community. You're the diamond in these last days that God can use to heal up broken hearts, to be able to talk to people that have been abused, and there's an answer to that. They don't have to walk around with no self-esteem. They don't have to be critical of other people all the time. They don't have to tear down to make them feel like they're built up. Anybody know anybody like that? Do they usually respond when you ask them a question? I'm just kidding. All that snake had to do was to let go of those things in your life that so easily weigh you down, entangle you, and just frustrate you from having a good day. We're always looking over. The devil knows how to blackmail you. Omniscience. In the Bible, all-knowing, God knows everything. Do you agree with that? So let me ask you this. Psalms 139 says, God formed me in my mother's womb. Okay, called me by name. And he says, that's marvelous. Wait a minute. Did God know Moses? in the womb? He was a murderer. Did God know the Apostle Paul in the womb and he killed hundreds of Christians like us? Did God know that Rahab the harlot, she would bow her knees to Jehovah one day to hide the spies and protect them? Did God know that Zacchaeus was a financial guy that was ripping off people? Did he know that in the womb? Well, it says that God formed us. God created us in the womb and we're marvelously made. When I read that, I thought, God, you know what I've done. I probably have stacked up more stuff in my past than all of us put together. Stuff that I'm not proud of. Stuff that I look back some nights and just say, Tugbo, you was an idiot. Violent stuff. Abuse causes violence. And he'll tell you at Bible school how violent I could become going out on the town. Actually, it was him and our other buddy in Cincinnati. They saved my life several times. They really did. Saved my life several times. I'd come back from Bible school. We knew how, I'll talk for myself. We knew how to sneak out and sneak in. I never came home at night before I went to Bible school. Then you had to come back in at, 12 o'clock curfew. I didn't know much about that. I remember one time I was done. I came in, God hates me. I'm a sinner. I can't stop. I'm doing this. And he took me down to the basement. Remember that we were living in a dorm that when we graduated, the president said, I'm tearing that whole thing down. You guys are like the, remember that, the neck? Took me down to the basement, I'm crying, God, forgive me, help me, help me, help me. I can't stop doing this stuff. And a Volpe would talk. He was my doctor, psychiatrist back there, psychology, I mean. Before I know it, he talked me into staying and not leaving and not running back to the old life. Well, you know, at this age I can look back and say, wait a minute, God, you called me and you knew I was going to go down this road in life. You knew I was going to fail you 1,000 times. You knew I was going to turn my back on you, God. You knew I'm not perfect. You knew I'm a sinner. And you still called me. Ain't that good news? God called all of us. So what's that mean? That means the snake. That means what the enemy tries to grip us with or bring our minds back to abuse or a hard time or whatever you went through that makes you do the things that destroy relationships rather than build them up. Does that make sense? But he still called us to work for him. This church is called, my God, you would have so many different testimonies in this place if everybody ever wrote them down. Because of the denomination and the background and the many different faiths that everybody comes together, that's a miracle in these last days. Can't usually find that. People want to argue and debate theology and all of that stuff, and it causes dissensions. And the very people that I win to Christ on the streets, they look at the church and they say, but all they do is argue and complain in there. Where do I take them? What do I do with them? Well, if you want to drive 800 miles, I'll send them all down here to you guys. He called me by name. Why don't you let go of the saw blade? it might have been years in your life. You might look back and say, why do I react like that? I know it's not godly. I know I tear things down. Why? Well, maybe there's still some hole, some crack that you never realized biblically that the devil made a breach in your life. He caused a crack that changed everything. In my life, I was only in fourth, fifth grade when abuse entered my life, caused a hole in my soul. And then the devil's sly. He's smart. As soon as that happens, he takes you somewhere to fill that with the worldly stuff. And now that is what fuels our satisfaction. We got to do that. We got to drink. We got to do drugs. We got to get into all the things that are not healthy. And I have the best wife in the world. The best. Italian. I'm German. First time I went to her family, I thought they all hate each other. It's just like on TV. They talk loud, they argue, they scream, and they move their hands a lot. If there's any Italians in here. Am I right? I kind of like just run right under the table, Steve. Four things in 3 minutes, I'll be done. Do you want to live in freedom? One, repent from those things that aren't godly. Number two, renounce the activity in Jesus' name. Stop going there. Stop people, places, and things. Don't associate with the people that's going to bring you down or fuel that thing in your life. Number three, forgive those that hurt you. I wanted to kill a third uncle. I was going to shoot him when I got older. I said, one day I'll go back and shoot him in the head for all the aggravation he put me through and all the dysfunctional stuff I had to deal with. I'm going to blow his brains out. But because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he died and wherever he went today, and I never went back. And number four, enjoy your victory and celebrate church. Cut the soul ties. Let the Holy Spirit fill the hole. Will you let go? Steve, sing this song in closing. Will you come to Jesus today? Just as I am, God, I'm coming. With all my baggage still, I'm coming. We think when we hit 60 and 70, we don't have baggage. I know I do. I'm pushing 70. God, open up my suitcase. And let's deal with some baggage today. Bow your heads as he sings this song. And make it your prayer at your seat today. There's some baggage you may have to give him. You may have to let the snake release. If he just released it, he would have lived. If you just release it today, your marriages will be better. Your life will be better. Satan's a liar, and he comes to kill, rob, and destroy.
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to just as I am, wilt thou receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, and relieve, because thy promise
Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you formed me in my mother's womb. You called me by name. You took the worst. There was many, many better men than I was to preach the gospel. Father, you knew. You knew the day would come. You knew the day would come when abuse hit my home. But you still love me, you still call me, and you still use me. Father, I pray today, each one in this house, that they would just release the grip and stop bleeding every day. Stop the emotional, physical, mental roller coaster. Lord, we cut the soul ties in Jesus' name. Fill the hole in my soul with forgiveness. Let me love the ones that abused. Let me forgive, because something supernatural will happen when we do that. It's spiritual, it's supernatural, and God does a miracle in your life. Today, Father, bless this church, bless this house, bless the people, and most of all, God, watch over our children. Wherever they're at, whatever they struggle with, whatever they deal with, oh God, give us what they need to help them as we go home, as we go back to our houses. God, protect our grandbabies today. Watch over them, oh God. And in Jesus' name I ask that. And the church said, amen. God bless you and thank you today.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Well, what a message this morning. What a lot to think about. We don't hear a lot of messages like that in church. But you get a street guy and he's not going to give you candy. He's going to take all the candy and the fluff off and he's going to tell it like it is. And so this morning, over those 4 points one more time. Repent. Forgive. Renounce.
And live in freedom.
And live in freedom. That's Bible. That works. That works. Amen. I'm so glad that you're here today. And I know that that message touches your heart. If it doesn't touch your heart, maybe you know somebody that you can begin to pray about that's going through something. And you've got those four principal points now. You can apply those. You can be an instrument of blessing to bring into their lives. We're going to close the service this morning. We're going to sing, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. After we sing it, we'll be dismissed. Amen. Thank you for being with us. God bless you today.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He
dismissed.